know that we're in 2020, right? I mean, the test results from the Dodgers COVID test weren't even back, and we already had basically everybody in baseball declare themselves a free agent. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Ned Coletti, Dodgers analyst, will join us in a few minutes. We'll take a look back at the Dodgers World Series win. Still got to talk about that. The fallout from Justin Turner, as predicted in this show, well, it's predicted by everybody, Barker. Major League Baseball is basically blaming Justin Turner for COVID-19, which is not a huge surprise. And because that's kind of the way it goes. But we're already focusing in on free agents, and kind of surprising news today out of Cleveland, and Alex Cicero just talked about it on our update. But the Cleveland Indians have declined a relatively modest option on Brad Hand, their closer. They've placed him on outright waivers. So that signals their intention, obviously, to decline his $10 million club option if he goes unclaimed. If a team does claim him, which I would think would have to happen based on this guy's the results, the Indians won't even be responsible for paying his $1 million buyout. Now, Hand had a 2.05 ERA in 2020, and ownership is very clear. This is cost-cutting, just as we saw with the St. Louis Cardinals, Colton Wong, for example.
Yeah.
It's cost-cutting. Like, this is all we focused on for the past couple of months is getting the season done. And I think we all knew, and we talked often about how there was going to be a financial price to pay for this year, that it wasn't simply going to be over the second this year was over, then everything would get back to normal next year. I mean, it's the same in every sport. There's just not going to be that much money in the system next year. But Bark, this is 2 days after the World Series.
Yeah.
Not even 48 hours after the World Series. And there are some guys that in normal years would not be free agents. And like, if I'm a team like the Blue Jays, and understanding the Blue Jays are going to have their own issues, especially if one, the stadium isn't open, and two, if it is open, there's no fans, the border issue. I mean, I'm looking at this, and if you're one of those people that believes in every crisis, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for somebody to go ahead here and really fix their team. Oh, and by the way, as if this isn't even screwed up enough, the Miami Marlins did decide to exercise the option of Starling Marte. So the Miami Marlins right now, acting like a big market team.
Yeah, well, listen.
Now, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and you can't compare the two because that's an everyday player to a guy that has really, truly big-time struggles in the playoffs.
Yeah, but this guy's 17 saves last year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What did he do in the playoffs? His ERA was like almost 16. If you're getting him, a team that wants him is getting him for the playoff run.
Yeah,
when it matters, you get to give him the ball when it matters, and look, that's a lot of money. I just don't know about that.
If people are interested, because waiver priority right now is based on the reverse order of the league-wide standing, so you know the Jays probably aren't going to get a crack at this guy because of where they finished. Right now, the order of waiver claims would be the Pirates, the Rangers, the Tigers, the Red Sox, the D-backs, the Orioles, the Nationals, the Mets, the Rockies and the Angels in that order.
Yeah, the Jays don't need him.
You don't think they need him?
No. Okay. Lefty that throws 94 out of the bullpen? No.
All right, you can find that.
They have enough. They got hard throwers. They need starters.
All right.
You would think they have their closer. You know, you got enough younger guys that can throw, high 90s. They need starters, and they need an impact bat. Where's that guy at? And Tony La Russa is the new manager of the Chicago White Sox.
As Bob Nightingale predicted about 3 weeks ago.
That's surprising to you? With what we just saw take place in the World Series, you're hiring him to go to the playoffs. Do you think he's making that move?
It's not surprising to me
in the World Series.
Only because of the relationship he has with Jerry Reinsdorf. I will say this, I cannot believe this is a Rick Hahn hire. Rick Hahn's a sharp guy. I think he's a really good GM. This, to me, smells entirely of the owner saying, this is my guy. And if I'm Rick Hahn right now, Tony La Russa, you bring in Tony La Russa, you bring in the whole package. Essentially, what has happened to Rick Hahn today is his owner has just hired his assistant and the guy who's going to eventually replace him. I don't think, look, you know how I feel about the White Sox. I think the White Sox are a team on the cusp. I think they're really good. I don't know if Tony La Russa's stuff's going to work now.
Yeah, I don't know what his stuff is. What is his stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when he was a manager, he had great teams. He had great lineups. Like, what is he bringing? Like, that's the question here.
He has the problem is...
A pedigree of winning? Okay, he has good players.
He has a pedigree, but here's the thing. He's got a pedigree of winning with the owner, with Jerry Reinsdorf. That's all that matters. Yeah, there are players in that clubhouse who have no freaking idea.
Good point.
Who Tony La Russa is. But he has got a pedigree with Jerry Reinsdorf. So I'm not surprised at all by that.
So you think the conversation was like, do I have to do everything that your computer tells me I have to do?
No, I think the conversation was very simple. The conversation was, Rick, this is Jerry. Tony wants back in. This is what I've given him. Make it work. Click. That's conversation.
Yeah.
That's maybe the conversation. The Russo's as old school as they come. Now, maybe he is going to be a little more open to the use of analytics, but I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf gives the rat's ass whether you use analytics or Ouija board. People know what Ouija boards are?
I don't even know what that
is. All right. Analytics or magic or whatever. That's the thing with the Ouija boards. Forget it.
Yeah.
Derek, do you know what a Ouija board is? Okay.
Huh. Forget that. Riding the train with Babe Ruth.
Shut up. Maybe it didn't make its way over the mountain. Right? Maybe make its way to the other side of the mountain.
Be quiet, Gibby. Okay?
It didn't make its way to the other side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I don't know how that moves the needle for the White Sox. I'm one of the very few that thinks the manager doesn't mean a ton. I know it sounds like it does with the way the World Series ended, but Kevin Cash didn't do that. That was from front offices. Can Tony La Russa talk to the media?
Can he give
legit answers? That's what he's got to do.
Tony La Russa can spin BS with the best of them.
That's what he's there for. And can he, there has to be a little bit of that buying into taking some orders. Like, this is the way it is in 2020. You think Tony La Russa can do that and how long that's going to last? That'd be interesting.
590-590 is the text line. Tomorrow, which is our final day of Baseball Central.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I'm bummed. It's our final day of Baseball Central for this year.
Hopefully.
And we'll be taking calls tomorrow.
Oh, good. Everything baseball. What the Blue Jays need?
I just made that.
Did you like the World Series?
I just made that decision. Jeff Passan. Good old Jeff Passan. Jeff, take the day off. Jeff Passan on Twitter. The hiring of Tony La Russa has ruffled feathers within the White Sox organization. A number of employees have concerns about his ability to connect with younger players. Yeah.
I don't understand the move. I get it. What you mentioned, I get that, but I just don't understand.
All the owner.
I couldn't tell you how many managers I've had in baseball. Tons. With all the winter ball I played, and I played Mexico, you name it, I played there. All the managers I had, it was more about communication than it was moves on the field. You put basically an everyday lineup, like the Dodgers did. They found out their first six, and then they filled in the last three. That's basically what really good teams do is they have good six in their lineup, and they fill in everybody else. And then the back end of the bullpen, you got three guys normally, at least two, and then you figure out how to get from the sixth to the eighth inning. That's where a manager comes in. Does that really matter if it's Tony Russo doing it or if it's Kevin Barker doing it?
590-590 is the text line.
Stop it.
What are your desires as a Blue Jays fan? Give us your priority. Number one priority. Not even two or three priority. What's your number one priority as a Blue Jays fan? Text us at 590-590.
Can I give you mine?
Yes.
Vladdy shows up.
Vladdy shows up.
I'm serious. Tired of talking about Vladdy. Is he good or isn't he? Let's see it.
Ned Coletti is Sportsnet's LA Dodgers analyst. He's a former Dodgers GM. Ned, thanks so much for joining us today on Baseball Central. Obviously, want to talk about the Dodgers and what we saw in the World Series. But if Tony La Russa is back managing the White Sox, my question is, when are you going to be back as a GM someplace? I'm waiting. And if you need a PR director, you know, I'm available.
You're very kind. You know, I listen about once a year, sometimes twice a year. It's got to, you know, I'm in a good place. I love what I do. I love teaching. I love to broadcast, doing 100 Dodger games during a regular season. And, of course, scouting for San Jose and the NHL is certainly a passion that I've had for years. Something comes up, I get an owner that really wants me, and the group I would bring would be a pretty special group, I can tell you that. If they want to win, I do it, but I'm not waiting for it. I'm living on.
You surprised Tony wouldn't want to get back in the game?
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, I mean, he's a very active guy, and he, you know, this is his greatest passion, probably outside of family, is really just managing and being around the sport, and he stayed connected to it. You know, I don't know if I think you can forget sometimes that this starts really early February and goes to almost November. If you've got a good team and it's not part-time and it's every single day, and then in the wintertime you got a lot of time as well that you're in the middle of stuff. But, you know, it's tough to be fueled for 50 years one way and then just move along and never yearn for that type of lifestyle and competition again. The San Jose Shark thing really helped me because it brought me back into a competitive mode. That's the thing I missed the most. Mm. And Tony's been around longer than I have. But the idea that every day you can help figure out a way to win a game, as simple as that may seem, at the highest level was – and the camaraderie, too, of the people that you work with and that you spend so much time with, far more time than your family. And those types of things, yearned for in my days between the Dodger GM gig and a couple of years ago when I started scouting for Doug Wilson and the Sharks. So, you know, but in my case, whatever comes, and I live life every day to the fullest. I have a great, I love life, and however it goes, it goes. For Tony, it'll be interesting to see if he doesn't at least think quietly to himself long about May or June that I really want to do this. You know? Been like 200 straight days. Did I really want to do this? You know.
Okay. Speaking of winning games and doing it at the highest level, you know, you watch the games. I watch the games. Blake Snell, Kevin Cash. What if Kevin Cash would have been halfway out to the mound and thought to himself, "Huh, am I bringing in the guy that's better than the guy that's standing on the mound?" And the answer he kept going to was no. He walks out and basically just says to Blake, "Just came out here to say hi. Go get him, kid." And turned around and walked off. Went in the dugout. Say he got through that inning, pitched another inning. After the game, they won that game. After the game, he meets with the front office. What do you think that conversation would have been like? Because obviously we know that they sort of had that scripted out. You know, third time through, 75 pitches, yada, yada, yada. How do you think the conversation would have been? Would it have been, you know, you made the right move. It wasn't what we recommend, but it was the right move. Would that have went?
I'd hope it'd go that way. I can't tell you. I don't know the people involved, but it had better have gone that way. You know, it was such a predictable move. And, you know, and we've all watched sports for decades, right? Yeah. It's rare that you see in the sport of baseball a pitch, a hit, a fielding play that doesn't change momentum. In hockey, it's rare that you don't see a save or a shot or a rush that doesn't change, or a hit that doesn't change momentum. In the deciding game of the World Series, a pitching change changed all momentum. I think the Dodgers and the things that I've heard from people I know in that dugout, in that organization, they were so relieved to see him leave the game. And it kind of gave them an extra jolt, an extra bit of confidence. It also put, who followed? Anderson, I think, may have followed him. You know, how's he going to do better than that?
Yeah.
You know, you put the pressure on him, and your second hitter you're going to face, I think, was Mookie. You know, how are you going to do this? And so, what are your what's your upside out of this move, you know? And but hey, that's how they like to play it, and that's how they like to manage it, and all of that. I thought that they sold Mr. Snell short. I thought that they gave the Dodgers a new life in a game that the momentum was starting to sway in their favor. They happened to win that game. I don't think they would have won it 1-0, but they happened to win that game. So, you know, who knows what yesterday would have brought. Yeah. But anyway, the clock, the buzzer went off, and so it was time to go get the pitcher.
Now, when I look at the Dodgers and go around the lineup, I mean, I think it's safe to say that team isn't going to go away anytime soon. But I want to ask you this, though. With what are the important decisions they will have to make this offseason? Understanding that we're going to see a really strange economic offseason. We're already seeing it with some of the options that haven't been picked up. But sort of what's the next step for this core group, do you think, Ned?
Well, I think you look at free agency, first of all. You've got really a vital player in Justin Turner. You got a vital player in him who's free agent. Kike Hernandez, I'm going to probably miss a few here, but you got your free agent situation first and foremost. You got to figure out Justin Turner, leader. If they had a C on a shirt, he'd be wearing it. Still a really good offensive player, good defensive player, and just somebody that is – it's tough, guys, it's tough to find leaders in sport today. Hockey might be the easiest, but it's tough to find real leaders, guys that people look at and know that it's not just how he does things, but when he says something, it matters. So guys like that have huge value. That's the key point. I think you'll see if the right free agent to be shows up, like Mookie, I think you'll see them make a move after somebody like that. I don't think you'll see them spending a lot on free agency. I think you've got a young pitching staff with May and Gonsolin and Urias and Buehler and Clayton. You got five pretty good ones right there, and you still got Alex Wood you could decide to keep. You still got more coming. So you've got the makings of a team that is going to be there for a while. The core guys, your Bellingers, your Seegers. Seegers a year from free agency. I'm about mid-20 years old. Lots of time left. Will Smith, Austin Barnes, guys that kind of got more establishment in this month of October. A lot of really good players. Muncy signed, CT3, Chris Taylor, he's signed. Pollock is signed. So you got some big decisions to make. They do not have a lot of money committed, believe it or not. And they've got a chance to have this window open for a while.
Ned, what's the ceiling for Dustin May?
Well, it's interesting. You know, he doesn't, with the stuff he's got, he doesn't have a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
He has got some of the most unhittable pitches in the game. The one, you know, the fastball sinker that goes to the back foot of the right-handed hitter. I mean, I've seen very few guys able to do that. And to do it not just to locate it, but to throw it with such ferocity. And it's... But he doesn't strike a lot of guys out. And I think the series got a little bit fast for him. I think bringing him in the relief, and I think in game five with a lead, gave him some confidence and kind of re-jolted him up a notch. I think he's got great upside. I think this kid could be an awesome closer if that's what they decide to do. Otherwise, I see him as at least a number three starter. I see Gonsolin kind of in the same boat, maybe not in the bullpen as much. I think he's got more repertoire, better command of his pitches, Gonsolin does. But I think Dustin May, if he gets command of everything and really develops a even better off-speed pitch than the one he's got, the slider, which is a good one now, you may have a choice to make where you put him because he's got a chance to be really good at either spot.
Ned, how do you think Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers manage the Justin Turner situation? I'm talking about him coming back on the field after testing positive. You know, it seems pretty clear that the commissioner's office isn't really pleased with him, by extension, not really pleased with the Dodgers as well. What happens here, and does that affect his value on the market?
Well, I'll answer the easy one first. I don't think it affects his value on the market. I think if you're looking... You know, it depends what you're looking for. And if you're looking for a baseball player, boy, I mean, you know, it's – and some, as I said, the leadership factor that he brings, the month of October factor that he brings, which is phenomenal. He leads, and he's played more games than Duke Snyder and Ronnie Say and you know, that those eras, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s era of Dodgers. But he leads in every offensive category. Just because you play the games doesn't mean you're going to get clutch hits. But as a player, I think his value is anything. It's up a notch from where it was, perhaps. The other aspect of it that you brought up, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what all the deal was. I'm not there. I'm doing studio stuff in L.A. I'm miles away. I know the emotion of the man, and I know his dedication and his spirit, and also his statements earlier that, hey, we were gonna do what we needed to do, and you know, to be safe. And so, you know, I'm not sure of all the conversations that took place. I can only imagine what it would have been like to get a tap on the shoulder in the middle of a deciding World Series game, actually not even in the middle, near the end, and say, hey, you're out of the game. You know, I mean, goodness. You know, I mean, all these factors. I think, obviously, there's a storyline out there right now that has a decent amount of fact to it, I guess, but I'm not sure that all the fact and everything is in. I don't know. I don't know what is and what isn't.
Before we let you run, we mentioned that the Indians decided not to exercise the option in Brad Hand. They've given him his outright release. And we've already seen, you know, every year there's going to be a bunch of free agents that file right after the World Series. I mean, I remember getting an email in my inbox from Scott Boras when Alex Rodriguez filed, 2 minutes after the final out of the World Series, and all the national writers got this email. Alex Rodriguez elects free agency. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, we're seeing guys like Colton Wong and Brad Hand on the market already. Is this going to be a really tough year for free agents to, you know, to even find a multi-year contract? Never mind a multi-year contract at what they want financially.
Yeah. Well, I think the answer to there's probably 50 questions that nobody can legitimately answer today. And that's issues for guys like me to do TV, guys like you to do radio. You know, we don't know. We don't know what lies ahead. We see an uptick in cases. We don't know every. There's probably very few owners in any professional sport that their loan entity is that sports franchise. We don't know how the rest of their businesses are affected or where they're at. We don't know when games are coming back to be played. We don't know when they're going to come back, how many fans will be able to attend. We don't know. Some states, some counties are going to have different jurisdictions than others. So you may be able to have 11,000 fans in Arlington, Texas, and no fans in Arizona or whatever. You know, I'm just picking up areas here. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what comes. Can you travel to Canada, you know? I mean, are you going to reshuffle the NHL? But on the free agent market, I think for baseball coming up, I think there's just too many unknowns. And I think what you've seen with some of the non-picking up of options on a guy like Hand, had an ERA barely over 2, it's we don't know. And we're going to have to gamble that, hey, we'll find somebody, and we'll have to wait to see. I think once people know what the landscape is as far as, okay, we're going to be able to have fans as of April 1st, as a regular season, you can make another move and think about it. But even when you think about that, how do we know how many people are coming back?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on? At the World Series ratings would be 32% below the all-time low. It's not like 32% behind last year, which was really good, let's say. No, it's 32% from what I read below the all-time low. We don't know what the economy and the appetite for it is going to be. And I think that's as big a question as any of them. I think they're all massive questions. And I think those with multi-year contracts that go to next year, I think they, you know, ought to say a prayer of thanks, because it's, you know, if you weren't doing that, you may not be in that boat. Yeah. You may be sitting there waiting, wondering. And for any athlete to miss a year, it's hard. Not only is it a year lost of earnings, but it's tough to get your body and the mental piece of it and the physical piece back to where you left at the last day of a season. So. And none of these questions, guys, I don't see them being answered for months. Mm-hmm. Not in a positive way.
Yeah.
Maybe in a negative way. Mm-hmm. But I don't see a clear opening that says, hey, this is when we're going to do this and that, and this is how it's going to look, because I don't know who knows how it's going to look when it comes up. Teams raising prices this year? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But people got money for it. We'll find out, but I think there's just too many things nobody knows.
Yeah.
Ned, good stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your insight. Stay safe. Thanks for this.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me on. I always like talking to you. Always love talking ball.
Take care. Ned Coletti, LA Sports.
Yeah, the interesting thing that I got from that, he said a lot of interesting things, was the Dustin May closer thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever think of him, look at him as a closer? And he mentioned it. He doesn't strike out a ton of people.
Here's the way I would look at it. Yeah, that's the thing.
But do you have to now?
Well, I think you can. He doesn't strike out a lot of people, but the stuff is good. I think you can. You saw the stuff. Does the stuff play in the ninth inning to you? But let me rephrase that. If you went to Dustin May, you know, let's talk about it because we're up against the break. Because I want to go deeper in that because you hit on something that I'm really intrigued and I want to get your take on it. We'll take a short break. 590-590 is the text line. We've got texts. Promise you we'll get to them. Give us your Blue Jays priority for the offseason. And Barker and I are going to have a little discussion of Dustin May because he got me thinking about something. As you always do. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I almost feel like telling you there's a World Series game tonight because there was no sports on last night. No. I had nothing to watch. Actually, that's not true. The TFC. But I didn't watch it. Because I'm a... I'll just move on. Dustin May. So we had this conversation about Dustin May, and you said there's not a lot of strikeouts there right now.
No.
Okay. Is Dustin May good enough, and is his stuff good enough that if I went to him, Kevin, I'm Dave Roberts or Andrew Friedman, or whoever makes that decision in the Dodgers, our 2-3-P-CO or whatever the hell the computer's name is, whatever the computer farts out for Dustin May.
Uh-huh.
If I go to him and say, you're my closer, starting in spring training, we're going to use you like a closer. We want you to train in the offseason like a closer. Could you take Dustin May and coach him into being a guy who could strike guys out in the ninth inning?
No. The shift's going to help him a lot. Like with his sinker,
the guy throws 100.
Yeah, but 100's not 100 like it was 15 years ago.
Does people see
100 a
does
lot.
What is his pitch mix?
The sinker, slider, get me over curveball. Occasionally, he'll have the comeback changeup, that kind of thing.
So he doesn't have that second pitch you need as a close.
Okay. It's size.
Yeah.
It's arm angle. It's the big, all the moving parts before he releases the baseball. But it is about the shift. If I can throw to the shift, the closer's not what the closer used to be. I don't have to strike people out now. But because I can have seven people standing where 9 times out of 10, if you throw a sinker here, he's going to hit it there. I got a better chance of getting you out. I think that is, and he can go to multiple innings, which is a big thing for me. And you know, their strength is not their bullpen. We've seen that. It's not. They don't shorten the game. He could do that for them. Now you could shorten it and say be a 2-pitch guy. You know, you could use more 4-seamers. You could pitch in more. You know, Ned was right. He pitches in to right. He's good with the sinker. That's hard to do. That's not an easy thing to do because your target's smaller. It's just a smaller thing to aim for. That's not the easiest thing. Your target is, obviously, you look at it. You can picture somebody standing on the mound and where they got to throw to and as much movement as a sinker does. You know, you wouldn't think it moved that much as hard as he throws it, but it does. Mm. So how do you control it? How can you throw strike one? How could you expand with a secondary pitch? And how could you pitch to the shift? If you can do that, you can give me 2 innings. That again would solve some issues for them in their bullpen. Their bullpen's not real good. I mean, let's be honest. It's okay, but it's not something that even the Rays were like, oh, that now we're never going to win. No, they had a feeling that, you know, we get to the bullpen, we got an okay chance of doing this, and he might solve a few of those problems.
Yeah, you couldn't use their bullpen over 162 the way they did in the World Series. If you're the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think their offense makes up for, you know, just wears out the opposing team and their pitching staff, and their lineup is that much better. It's like the Blue Jays. Think about the Blue Jays. Their weakness is their starting pitching. Is their offense good enough to make up for that? No. So that's what the Dodgers do.
590-590 is the text line. We're asking for your wish list if you're a Blue Jays fan. Please use your name and location. Caden did. Hello, my name is Caden. I'm from near Toronto. It's a big area. Mm. And I think the Jays' biggest need right now is a better bullpen and a number four starter. We need a better setup for Giles and better inning eaters. Ken Giles, by the way, is filed for free agency.
Yeah,
Ken,
he won't
Ken,
be back.
Ken Giles won't be back. Number four starter, I will say this. And where is that? Here we go. I'm going to twin your text with Gord from Midtown. Gord, always good to hear from you, by the way. Toronto, he said his wish list for the Blue Jays is to re-sign at least two of Walker, Ray, and Shoemaker. Now, I want to twin those two together, Caden, because that's I would like to see them sign a couple of those guys. If you can get all three, I'm okay with that. Because right now I'm looking at Hyunjin Ryu. And folks, we got to say that Nate Pearson's not going to be in the rotation to start next year. Let's just put that aside. Let's let the guy go down to AAA, you know, and kind of get back on a normal path. This was a weird year for him. So let's just take Nate Pearson out of the question right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just remove him. So you've got the Anthony Kays, and I'm not slagging these guys, but you've got the Anthony Kays, the Julian Merriweathers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I need, if you give me Ryu, Shoemaker,
Ray
to start. Now, I'm probably not going to pick up Chase Anderson's option.
That's almost $10 million. He's not worth that.
Tanner Roark.
Well,
you've got him for $12 million.
Unless they trade him.
You got him for $12 million.
Which they could package him for something.
Let's just say, okay, we'll throw Tanner Roark in there. I think you need somebody who is good enough in your perfect world, guys. I think you need somebody who's good enough to be your number three or number four starter. I think you can figure out the number two in there. And look, there are going to be a lot of usable arms on the market. But here's what I'm getting at: there's a lot of arms on the market that are Taijuan Walker and Robbie Ray and Matt Shoemaker. I mean, there's a lot of those guys. I'd rather bring guys back that I have a little bit of rapport with. Matt Shoemaker's been here for a couple of years. Robbie Ray is effusive in his praise of Pete Walker. You know that Robbie Ray would re-sign here, you know, if the offer was good.
Yeah.
I think that's a start. I think if you're the Jays, you have to make a decision. How many of those guys are we bringing back? Once you've made that call, then I think you move on. But I'm going to throw this out there as well, Kevin. I don't know how you feel about it. I understand you want to focus on pitching, but folks, you got to get a middle of the order thumper. You really do.
Yeah.
And you've got to make the outfield defense better. And to me, the guy you can move out or the guy whose job is least secure right now, to me, is Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what you could get for him. I think the first and foremost question you got to ask yourself is, realistically, how good do you think the Blue Jays are? Over 162 games. Let's think about the American League East. Are they better than the Yankees?
No.
Are they better than the Rays?
No.
Are they better than the Red Sox?
Yeah,
that's close.
Next year.
Like the Red Sox, listen, I know what the Red Sox say. We're rebuilt. Red Sox don't rebuild. Like they're good. They're awful one year. They're really good the next year. Do you really think they're going to be awful next year? Oh, we don't. All the unknowns with the, you know, people in the stands and all these kind of things, we don't know what's going to happen there. So that could determine on how much they go out and actually try and win this thing. But do we really think they're going to stink? They might be, you know, middle of the road. Even if they're middle of the road.
Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's immense potential for them to suck.
Well, we'll see. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think it's the Red Sox. I think if there is a lot of people in the stands, it's going to be a very tough sale. It truly is going to be a tough sale, especially with the Rays being good. The Rays being better than the Red Sox just doesn't sound right to me. And the Red Sox fans aren't going to handle that well.
I think that, you know, something I talked about during the postseason is just move off the Rays for a bit. You know, we had this little thought exercise, right? Where you looked at the playoff teams and you asked yourself, all the playoff teams, where do the Blue Jays rank in that group? You look at the pitching. Which postseason team do the Blue Jays have better pitching than? Could you come up with one?
No. You know, Ryu will match up with a couple of number ones.
Right.
But not all of them.
No, and what I think really concerned me was the fact that I looked at every team, and every team had young guys who could throw hard and had control for the most part. I look at the Marlins. I take the Marlins pitching staff over the Jays pitching staff. And what concerns me here is that the postseason showed us just what the gap is between the Jays and everybody else in terms of pitching. So I know that there has to be a focus on pitching in the offseason. But I keep getting back to this at the same time. I need something to be settled in the Blue Jays' everyday lineup. Yeah, it would be great to have a veteran catcher. That would be great to have a veteran catcher. But I need to know every day that this guy's at third, this guy's at short, this guy's at second. These are my outfielders. And I'm not blaming this all on Randall Grichuk. And you're right, that contract might be hard to move, especially in this depressed marketplace. But I Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is cheap. He's comfortable where he is. Just leave him there. Just leave him there. I mean, the defensive metrics have him listed as a Gold Glove candidate. Yep. So leave Lourdes Gurriel Jr. there. Teoscar Hernandez won me over. I don't know if he's ever going to be an All-Star, an MVP candidate, yada, yada. But if Mark Shapiro or Ross Atkins walked into this room and it was full of 100 Blue Jays fans and they said, one thing we can tell you for certain, Teoscar Hernandez is going to be in our lineup every day come opening day, we'd all go, great. Okay, we're in. We're down. We're in with Teoscar.
I don't want to speak for Ross or Mark, but if it's me running this team, I'm all in on Francisco Lindor. That determines on how much I spend this year.
Well, now, and this really is the other thing. If Cleveland isn't picking up Brad Hand's option for $1 million, I wonder if they're not getting set to trade Lindor this year.
You would think so.
Right? What's the point? If you're going to start watching, if you're worried about $1 million or even $10 million, if you're going to pick up, it's a $10 million for a guy who could save 40 games. Never mind what he does in the postseason, whatever.
Yeah, got to get to the postseason.
If you're worried about that, then you're going to tell me that you're not going to entertain an offer for Francisco Lindor. Look at it from the Indians' point of view. Next year, it's going to be an awful year financially.
Yeah.
It could take 2 or 3 years for the game to recover. So if I can trade Francisco Lindor, I'm probably not going to have fans in the stands anyhow.
Yeah.
So if I can trade Francisco Lindor and get guys that I can develop so that 2 years down the road when the game is better, boom, I got two guys I got for Lindor and I've developed them. They're playing every day for me. Why wouldn't I make that?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Deal.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Lourdes Gurriel Jr. for Francisco Lindor. Would you do it?
I would have to know that he's staying here.
How would you know that unless you write a big giant check for it?
I would have to know that he's staying here. That would be my answer. That's me. So no, I wouldn't do it.
I've never been in one of those rooms. That'd be a very interesting conversation to say, if I trade for you, you know,
the only way that would happen is if the Cleveland Indians gave you permission to negotiate with the player. And I don't even know if that happens anymore in baseball. Would give you permission to negotiate with the player and his agent first. And I would imagine if it does, it's going to cost you more, right? The Indians would say to you, okay, we'll let you do that. But now, instead of just Lourdes and Vladdy, you know, we want Simeon Woods Richardson as well. Yeah. In other words, if we give you the right to negotiate, you're going to give us more. I understand Lindor makes perfect sense for this team.
Yeah.
I understand there's that tie-in with Shapiro and Atkins. I just don't think it's doable.
Well, the only thing left would be to outbid everybody else. Don't trade for him.
Outbid as a free agent.
Outbid. It's going to cost you. The number's probably going to start with a three.
Now, where it does get interesting, and I don't think this matters for the Blue Jays as much, but I can see a team, I can see a big market team maybe making a play for Lindor, thinking, you know what, we're going to have this guy in camp for a year. So for a year, no one can talk to him about a contract but us. Nobody. Yeah. So we'll take that ownership for a year. We'll run the risk. You know, maybe a team that's a big market team with a decent farm system takes that risk. So you can bring in Francisco Lindor. If it doesn't work out, you've still got a little bit of bit of protection.
The last two teams that won the World Series have Juan Soto, Mookie Betts. Just me, the Blue Jays need that guy. Yep. The kickstand guy.
Kickstand guy.
That's him. Yep.
590-590 is a text line. We'll get to the text line. Promise you. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Reminder that tomorrow is our final day for Baseball Central. That makes this the penultimate day. We'll take your calls tomorrow and give you a chance to wrap up the baseball season. I really want to know what you thought of it, whether or not you think that we'll have fans in the stands next year. What do you think? Was this season a success for baseball or not a success for baseball? We will chat about that tomorrow. For right now, though, we are using the text line. And Robin Whitby, he's thought this out. He wants George Springer in center field, 6 defensive runs saved versus -8 for Grichuk, plus an offensive upgrade. Acquire Tyler O'Neill from Cardinals as a fourth outfielder. Mm. That's an interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interest. That's a name. I will tell you, that's a name I've heard around the team. I don't know if anybody would, how far that's gone. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because he's a Canadian, but acquire Tyler O'Neill from the Cardinals as fourth outfielder. Tommy La Stella at third base, a stopgap for Martin or Groshen. Sign James Paxton or Ray Walker. Stripling can be five or Merriweather. Was out of option. I forgot about Ross Stripling. He'll be part of the rotation as well. I mean, look, George Springer would be a great acquisition.
Yeah. Again,
what did we say that the Jays are on the hook for $30 million in salary?
It's not much. Well, it's
not much
around there. Yeah,
around there
might be closer to 50, but it's not a ton.
You would think that they could afford George Springer.
Yeah, but again, it comes back to that. Like, how good do you really think your team is in 2021? Because George Springer for me is that final piece. You're not getting him to. Hopefully, you make a run at it. No. We think we're going to make a run at it, and he takes us to the next level. That's why you bring him here. Or do you wait what I've been yelling and screaming? Again, I'm not in the closed door room, and I'm not had any conversations with the people that matter or are going to make these calls. But the Frankie Lindor thing, why would you spend it on one person that's when you could wait and spend it on a guy that's, yeah.
Brian and Oshawa, can the Blue Jays sign Trevor Bauer and Justin Turner to play third base? Sure they can. They can sign them, but those guys aren't coming here. Yeah, you got to remember. It's
Trevor
it takes
would
two
if, you,
to
if you if you if you gave him more than anybody else gave him. Sure he would. Tell him to stay off Twitter.
Good luck with that.
Well, I mean, I pay his check. It'd be real easy.
You wouldn't have to tell him to stay off Twitter. Marcus Stroman is on Twitter all the time.
Not like that though.
Dave in Collingwood, I'd like a catcher, third baseman, and an outfielder. One of these guys needs to be a legit middle of the order bat. We're on the same page here.
Yeah.
We're on the same page here. The catcher, you're not going to get a catcher. I don't think he's a middle of the order bat. I need a catcher that allows me to allow Danny Jansen to take a step back a bit.
Yeah, I just need,
I want to keep Danny Jansen around.
I need a guy that's comfortable and who can stop the running game. I don't need a great offensive player.
James McCann.
Because I'm going to go spend that and get me one.
James McCann is the guy I'd like to see.
Yeah, he's an okay hitter, but he's good at putting the fingers down. He's not going to be overwhelmed with a guy that needs to put five fingers down.
Yeah.
And, are you real comfortable in Danny Jansen? You know, I think there's only so many chances you can give Danny.
I agree, but again.
He's a great dude, but.
I keep him around. I keep him around, and he can catch for me three times a week.
I'm with you.
It depends.
I just personally, this is just me. I don't know about it. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think until the Blue Jays go out and get a legitimate middle-of-the-order bat, it's almost impossible to take them serious.
Yeah.
It really is. It's the American League East, Jeff.
It would be nice to have.
The American League East.
As I said, it would be nice to have a thumper.
If that
guy has to play third base, he has to catch, or he has to be an outfielder. Because first base, I got options at first base. Second base, a guy like Colton Wong, who's really good defensively, might help. I know our friend Chris Black has run that name up the flagpole.
Yeah, now middle of the order back can lead off, like Lindor.
Yeah.
Like, you put your best hitters up front now. You don't put them in the 3, 4, 5 spots. You put them 1 and 2. That's, well... I don't know if you noticed, but that guy usually hits one or two.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But again, we're probably throwing it against the wall and it's not going to stick.
You're never going to get everything you want.
No.
So my sense is the season starts. You'll see the Blue Jays with another starting pitcher. I think they will address the catching situation.
They will, yeah. They know what we know.
They've got some young guys. They've got guys like Gabriel Moreno. They've got some younger guys. And, of course, everybody's favorite Alejandro Kirk. They've got guys who are kind of on the cusp, but they could use a guy here for 2 or 3 years to hold the fort until that's ready, maybe work with Danny Jansen. So that's fine. But unless Austin Martin, unless you think he can be an everyday center fielder, you need to add another outfielder to the organization.
Yeah.
And it's got to be somebody who plays every day and I would say has a responsible role offensively. And by that, I mean, I'm not talking about a Jonathan Davis. I'm talking about somebody I can stick in the middle of the order.
How about a guy that can hit a heater?
That'd be nice.
How about that?
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. That is it for us for today. Don't forget, one more day tomorrow, we will take your calls. Don't go anywhere, though. Lots of baseball talk ahead. David Sampson joins us on Writer's Block.